Greetings in the precious name of Jesus this morning. God said it from heaven, very clearly, church, began a count of the human reality. Two minutes this morning. Brother, you very should thank God for it. So many people make you nervous. I come from a very small town, but this is a lot of people. I don't know, but there's something about old crowds and kind that can certainly make you away. But it is an honor and a privilege to be here and work with you. I've been richly blessed, richly talented, our national homeschool lesson, and think of the backup and the issues he faced. I think David, he faced the same thing that Habakkuk did. He said, when I saw the wicked, the prosperity of the wicked, my feet on him slipped. But then I remember there. Sometimes we wonder why God does not deal with wicked. We can be confidently guided and confident in the word of God. Righteous will be vindicated, glorified. Think of etc. That's what we look forward to as we go through this life and see all the wickedness and the turmoil around it. Kind of intrigued out of the devotional and Sunday school lesson lined up so well with my message this morning. You can bring your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. The title of my message this morning is Doth Not Wisdom Rust? Doth Not Wisdom Rust? It's an order to Titanic fit so well. I didn't have that for an illustration, or it would have been a good illustration. I'll bring that out later. I'm going to read verses 1 through 21, chapter 8 for now. Probably look at a few more verses from all the movies and verses surrounding passages. We've got to think about wisdom this morning. The importance of wisdom, the value of wisdom, and what wisdom does for us. And we're going to see the results of when wisdom is lacking, and we operate without wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top in the high places, by way of the places of the pair. She crieth at the gates, and at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors, unto you, O men of the call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye bold, in need of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be righteous. For my mouth shall speak truth, and the wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing throwable or poor perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth and right them and by knowledge. Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than truthful. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared unto it. Buy wisdom dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the proverb mouth do I hate. The counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes who did justice. By me princes rule and nobles be all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, thoroughly riches. Righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue is from choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may call those that love me to inherit substance. I will fill that is legend. Now, this is wisdom speaking on her own behalf. She presented to us in the feminine, speaking of all the valuable things that she has to offer. And to me, this is kind of a backdrop against what comes before in chapter 7, verses 6 through 27. And I want to look at that a little bit, just kind of build a sort of a background, because I think Jack Reed is kind of a prior against what we have in chapter 7. But in chapter 7, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to go down through a few things. We have the proverb writer here. He says, I'm looking out my window. I see a young man going down the street. He says he's among the simple ones, a man void of understanding. He goes down the street. He goes past the house of the harlot. And the harlot comes out. We know this account how she seduces him, tempts him. And he follows her to the place. He goeth, verse 22 says, he goeth after her straightway as not goes to the sword, till his dark spread through his nose. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend unto my mouth. Let not thine heart be blind to her ways, nor go astray in her head. For she has yet found many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. We have a proverb writer here looking out his window. I don't think she was looking out his window literally, but I think this is supposed to be kind of a metaphor of all the things of this world that can grab our attention, take our attention, all the things that are going on. But he uses the example of a harlot here. And it seems to me, looking out his window, he sees this young man going his way, not deserving right from wrong, void of understanding, and he becomes angry. Here's unnecessary, senseless destruction of a young man's life. And in anger and urgency, he cries out, "Doth not wisdom cry? Is there not hope?" He says, "She standeth at the top of the high place, and by the way, the place in her hair, cried at the gates." I get the picture. She's up there waving her arms. "Stop! Watch out! Wait, there's danger!" The young man reached her up. Listed well. And it fills him with his heart with anger because of what he's seen. And we look at the world around us, we see so many going their way, ignoring the warning signs, the Titanic. The messages of warning, there's icebergs ahead. There's ice ahead. Stop, be careful. Said, "Be quiet, we don't want to hear it." I get the picture of this young man the same way. I don't think he would have understanding because there was nobody to tell him right from wrong. I think he chose for the warning that would have been Christian. How many times did we ignore the warnings that he received? When our parents, the pastor, whoever it is, wait a minute, be careful. This is a preacher, or to be one passing their ideas, or our parents are just old fashioned. You know, they don't understand the things of modern time. So one couple of things here about wisdom that we don't look at. When can we go with one of urgency? As the wise person looks at the world and sees countless souls going down the path of fallen and destruction, and the cry of wisdom is imprisoned. This is a life and death matter. It's a difference between life and death. Very cruel. The sad thing is that largely all wisdom goes unheeded. Goes not. My prayer is that we would be among those that would heed the call of wisdom. As it presents the warning signs to us, we need to stop and listen. Doth not wisdom cry? Wisdom is available for everyone. James 1 verse 5 says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he shall be given to him." We just went through the book of Colossians in our congregations, and the book of Colossians is written against a new form of called Gnosticism. And the Gnostics believed that there was especially an entire nation here in the southern and had to go through some rituals and all these things that gained as higher wisdom. True wisdom is not like that. She standeth at the top of the high place. She cried at the city gate. "Unto you, O men, I call, My voice is from the Son of Man. Wisdom makes itself available to any education level, wherever you find yourself. And wisdom is available to you. Now, oftentimes when we make mistakes, find ourselves suffering, the consequences of those common mistakes, we'll use the excuse that we have nobody told them. So many times that actually not the case. Well, the time he calls, it's like those men look right back, we ignore the warning signs of their words. There are a few things about wisdom as we go through here that I'd like to point out. First of all, wisdom is distinguished by its speech. Look at verses 6 through 9. Here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be recognition. And my mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are unrighteousness. There is nothing brother of the person. They are all plain to him with understanding. Right. Like that, that's my knowledge. Wisdom is distinguished by speech.
Yeah.
The disciples there at the trial of Jesus, they came into that trial hall. What did people tell him?
Okay.
We know you're Jesus' disciples because your speech betrays you. Is your speech this morning not this morning? Of course, we know we're all going to surely speak ways in the church. But tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, as you're out in the workforce, but your speech betrays you. Disciple Christ. There's a few things I'd like to think about as far as speech. Those of us who work among the world, we don't know what that speech. Foul language, curse words, swear words, taking the God's name in vain. And it's not just, and it used to be that you heard that when a person got upset. Something happened, the person's temper flared up. And they would use these foul words and foul language. Now, you listen to just a casual conversation between two people, and it seems like you can't have a conversation without putting a curse word in every sentence. It's just the way it is. It's part of the way you are. Out of abundance of the heart, and not speechless. How is your opinion when you're out in the world? Is your speech betraying the name of the Christ? Another thing, maybe this relates to the mental one, is the way men will talk about their wives. Men of the world will talk about their wives. And the horrible things they will say about their wives among their peers, run them down, talk about them, and just terrible things. Wisdom is known by the speech. And I think it's probably one of the best ways. You and I as men, we witness the end of the world by the way we talk about our wives. How's that? You know, we can witness to them about Christ, maybe just brush it all. But when we pull our wives up, we mend our lives. They don't know. That's foreign to the world. And brethren, you and I have a responsibility to be an example to the world in the way we talk about it. That's the way we talk about our wives. I think it's a tremendous, tremendous witness to the world. Because that's foreign among many in the world. Wisdom is learning by its speech. Look at what it talks about. I will speak of excellent things. The opening of my lips shall be right thing. Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are good and worth. I don't know if I have that on the right order. It says, think on these things. What are the things you're going to talk about? Wisdom speaks about the excellence. Or at least think about the excellence. My mouth shall speak truth and wickedness in abomination. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness and nothing thrower that will throw away things thrower. When people hear you talking, what do they see you as?
Yes.
Do they understand that it comes out of their mouth and It's going to be worthwhile a year. It's going to be something uplifting, up there. It's that kind of thing that come out in the mail.
That's true.
You know, the world, we go to the workplace in the world, and we want to be talking about football and all the players and whatever things they talk about. What do we talk about?
What do we talk about?
These things that they talk about are all going to pass away. They do nobody any good. But you and I have a lot of things that are valuable to talk about. What is coming? Passing through our lives. I mean, things that are excellent. Things that are righteous. Most honestly, wisdom speaks of plain to him and understand. He's always having a challenge. I don't think of the crowd when he was there on this earth, he spoke a lot of parables. The disciples asked him why he spoke in parables. Basically, he said, well, speaking parables, because people like the Pharisees that aren't sincere, they don't really have any desire to know the truth. They're just here to find criticism, at least to criticize and find fault. They're not going to understand. But you, the people that are sincerely seeking, they will be able to understand. And that's what I see here. Wisdom was plain to him to understand the remote amount of time with knowledge. More sincerely seeking for the truth, seeking after that which you wrote. And wisdom, when we see wisdom, it will make sense to us. We didn't see the value of that. But the world doesn't see the value of a lot of wisdom. The value just doesn't make sense because we're not seeking, searching after the things that they truly are. Now notice how this harlot, going back to the chapter 7 again, how she attracted these, which you don't know. Things that were attractive through our sense of community. You know, the flashy things that catch our eye, the things that make us feel good, the things that boost our ego. Those are the things that are attractive. It talks about the way she was dressed. It talks about she decked her bed with tapestry, perfumes, things that really played in the sense of the show. Well, if we're the kind of people really get told about things that attract us, our senses, the things that look sharp, the bright shining objects, the things that make us feel good, things that wisdom has for long, are probably not going to be that attractive. Wisdom offers things that have substantial, lasting value, not things that are flashy, that look pretty, that catch your eye. Who's 30 years? So, are we the kind of people that are searching for something in substance, or are we the kind of people at the latest fad that plays on our senses or our emotions? Rather than being the kind of people that are attractive for that type of thing. Wisdom does not attract us out. Wisdom is looking for people that want something in substance, want something in value, something that lasts. Moving on. Go to the verse, Proverbs chapter 2. Or chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, knowledge is pleasant and yet sweet. She shall preserve it, understanding it. He'll keep thee deliberately in the way of the evil man. From the man that speaketh broken things, we leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. We rejoice to do evil and delight in the thoroughness of the living. Wisdom preserves and protects us predator. What do I mean by predator? Well, the predator is actually working. It's handle it preys on or weak or animal for agility to be better. We live in a world where we have a lot of predators who have well. We have the people calling up on the phone, you know, the scam calls, and they play on people's emotions. It's just amazing how many people fall with that type of thing because representing something that looks nice, sounds good, But those of us that have a little more wisdom, we can see through a lot of this. And we get a call like that, and it's just something they put coming back down and have time to listen to something. But there's predators in the spiritual realm. Peter says, the devil may be born alive, he walked out, see, he immediately comes down. Devil's your predator. And he sets traps for you and me and for all of us every day, attempting to lure us into his clutches. Wisdom preserves and protects us from the devil. There are some other things that I think maybe they don't fall into the class of predators as well, but a lot of people today are falling for the empty gospel. They're falling for the promotion of Christianity that doesn't bring with it sacrifice, doesn't bring it falsehood. Many people who grow up with deals in flesh have fallen for that advantage. Wisdom helped us see through that, see to the substance, and see what's really behind it. And see through that easy gospel. And it protects us from it. There's a lot of things that Brother mentioned, distractions. So many distractions that you and I can fall prey to. That we exercise wisdom in our lives to protect us in a lot of this. The books we read, it seems like for so many people, if a book or whatever it is has the word Christian in it, they're ready to grab it and read it and accept whatever it said. That book is like a predator, ready to take you down to the depths of destruction. And so many of these so-called Christian books have so much untruth in there that many people don't realize. They ignored the warnings. They realize that they weren't. The brothers and sisters, let's keep ourselves from danger. Not wait till it's too late. Not let ourselves get called in question of Satan and realize when it's too late. Wisdom is also essential to godly leadership. We go back to chapter 7. It's a counsel of one other son. I understand and I have strength. By me, kings reign, princes in kings justice. By me, princes rule and noble in all the journeys of the earth. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a school teacher, whether you're a pastor, if you have somebody following you, maybe you're just a business owner, wisdom is essential. Leadership. It's when a person leads with real wisdom, people they are leading respectfully. People they are leading have a desire to follow them. They see the value of what they are saying. Then when a person leads, it's not using wisdom in their leadership, they're despised by the other people. There's so many children today. Now, whether it's a children's fault or the parents' fault, I think a lot of times it's the parents' fault. Parents let their children do pretty much what they want. Go teach them in wisdom, and they grow up and they can't understand why their children despise them. Wisdom is essential for godly leadership. Let's look at the value of wisdom in life. Receive my instruction, not silver, knowledge rather than choice silver. For wisdom is better than rubies in all things that may be desired or not to be compared. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, worldly riches. Righteousness, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fire, and lemon, and choice silver. The value of wisdom cannot be measured. There's another passage in Proverbs I didn't write it down, but he goes down to a whole list of some of the most valuable things that we know on this earth. And he said, it's gold. No amount of gold can purchase wisdom. No amount of rubies. Find the best silver in the world, not purchase wisdom. The value of wisdom cannot be measured. What makes wisdom so much more valuable? Well, one thing, wisdom, something is not is new or metaphysical. It's outside of the realm of the natural world. Gold and silver, as durable as they are, they can perish. They will one day cease to exist. Wisdom will never cease to exist. It is everlasting. As long as God exists, wisdom will exist with him. Also, wisdom riches of this world have a tendency to come up with wisdom. But as we obtain wisdom, we can increase ever increasing wisdom, and it had never had a corrupting effect. Back to Joseph's young fellow. The more wisdom we attain, the more we find this, the more it affects our character. That's the opposite of what earthly wealth does, says in time. Also, wisdom is eternal. Let's look at the eternal aspect of wisdom for a later. And I want to read verses 22 through 31. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways. Before his works of old, I was set up everlasting from the beginning, wherever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains, abounding in waters. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, which I brought forth. While yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, a strengthened fountain of the future. When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not gather, his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Then I was by him, and one brought up with me, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in how to acquire the earth, and my delights are with the Son of Man. Now there are some people in this passage actually referring to Christ. I don't think it actually is. I think we're still talking about wisdom here. Just that voice to myself. But notice what it says. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of the earth. Before the Lord created the heavens and the earth, wisdom is basically another word. Wisdom is God just was not just happening. God is very important. Wisdom cannot exist outside of God. As long as God exists, wisdom will exist. Wisdom exists in eternity past, will exist in eternity future. One thing that makes it so valuable. Also, wisdom brings with it the blessing of the Lord. Blessed is the man that heareth, verse 34. Blessed is the man who heareth me, watching daily at his gates, waiting at the post of my gates. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinned against me, wronged in his spirit. All they that came to him, that wisdom brings with it blessing of the Lord. Wisdom brings with it love. And all that came to me, love of death, that's a pretty strong faith. So you see so many people today rejecting the wisdom that they're presenting. They don't realize that they are choosing that under their wisdom. First of wisdom accepts instruction and direction. And that verse in Habakkuk, some of us the lesson learned. Habakkuk was standing there waiting for the Lord, and the question was, he was waiting to know how I should answer those that would do me. Verse 10 says, receive my instruction, not silver, knowledge rather than true schooling. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Go to chapter 9, he that reproveth a scorner getteth himself shamed. Verse 7 of chapter 9. Either rebuketh a wicked man, he hath himself in God. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. But rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he shall employ reason learning. How are you?
Through you.
Someone comes to you to point out some weakness in your life. You respond with wisdom. Pretty hard for us in time. We like to think that we have things together. We like to think that we're not any worse than anybody else. But a person that possesses wisdom is going to welcome the rebuke that comes his way. He's going to see that as a help to perfecting and improving his life. He's not going to reject that. He's not going to throw that back on the person that's coming to him and say, well, what about you? What about your life? There's things in your life that aren't right. Why are you coming again? The wise person accepts and embraces the rebuke and the instruction that he receives before. For us as adults, it's our responsibility to seek after wisdom. That's what we're there for. And verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And that word early is probably a better translation would be those that seek diligent shall find me. Now notice, Lucy was standing at the housetops, crying to be heard. He's at the gate, he's at the entering of the city, he's everywhere crying. But at the same time, we still need to seek him. Wisdom is something that's there, that is available. And we have these opinions, we see what we're learning in life. Those of us that are parents, we are responsible to bring our children up in wisdom. The Bible says in the nurture and in the deliver. That's a tremendous responsibility. As I said, folly for things of this world play on our senses and on our carnal appetites. It's our responsibility as parents to train the appetites of our children. We have a big influence on what kind of appetite our children will have when they grow up, and they're older and making decisions for themselves. Just like we can train our children in their physical appetite, the kind of food you like. We're feeding them sweets and those kind of things. That's the kind of things they will like. They will gravitate to it. And we can train our children for that thing that are nutrition, things that are about it. We're all thinking our own say, those are the things I can choose. Now, those of you as young people, it's nice to see a lot of young people here. Our congregation, there are older folks, they have young families, they don't have any youth here. You youths have a responsibility to seek after wisdom. There's a lot of things in this world that are vying for your attention. I said the harlot in this, in chapter 7, was just an example of all the things the world has to offer. You know, there's so many things in this world that are so attractive. Now, think of the sports and the entertainment and all that goes with that. I was young, and I knew what it was. I used to go. When you're young, you have a lot of energy. The sports kind of thing is extremely attractive to a young person. We can get caught up in that so fast, but it's empty. Leads us in. So there's things that are so much more value. And my challenge to you as young people is seek things that are valuable. Seek after wisdom. You know, I like dessert as much as the next person. If I sit down to a meal and the main course is extremely, extremely good. I mean, I fill up on that. I'm full. I'm satisfied. And that, if his earth comes around and as good as it is, doesn't have the food it did, now he's hungry. I think life is a little bit about being spiritual. If we are filling up and satisfying ourselves with things of God, things of wisdom, there's things that the world damages in front of us to attract us. How can we have as much appeal for or satisfying? We have filled ourselves up and satisfied our longings, things of the way. But did Jesus say to the woman at the well, come to me and take the water that I give you, will never thirst again. There's not going to be that craving for something else that's out there. So my challenge for you as a congregation is to seek after wisdom. There's a lot of things calling to us. Things of value, things that wisdom has to offer, the things that we have, the things when we stand before God on judgment day, things we need to keep an eye on, the things that will serve us well. Things that this world has to offer are things we don't look back on when we stand before God as enough and wish we would go back to it. And no better than you young people, now is the time we're setting, making decisions, setting the course for your life. Seek after you. Promise of God is that if you seek after us, and you will find, if you ask for it, he'll give you. You will find that your life is much more pure and filled than anything you do. Things we're able to will have God, and that's why I'm telling that. Things you tell us we need. You need to do that. You need to experience that. Counsel appears for you. Wisdom is what sets a foundation for a strong, durable, fulfilling life. That's the only prayer.